Come back in a moment. There is really an EEOC ruling. I was telling you about this earlier. The EEOC has basically told the rest of us that if you are in a position to hire and fire, if you don't hire somebody with a criminal history, you could be committing a crime. We're going to talk with James Bovard, one of the smartest, snotty people I know, at 284-1040 or 800-469-4295 in a sec. My guest, James Bovard, is a public policy hooligan. James, welcome aboard.
Hey, Jan. Thanks for having me back on your show.
So what acts of hooliganism have you committed?
Well, you know, I'm just grateful the statute of limitations running all of them.
Aren't we all? But you had a running tab there for a while, James.
Well, you know, I've always enjoyed throwing rocks at the government.
And as long as you keep moving, they can't throw them back.
Well, you know, they've thrown them back, but so far they've missed.
Let me read a chunk of your think piece from the Wall Street Journal the other day. In the late 70s, the EEOC, that's the Economic Opportunity Commission.
Yeah, Equal Opportunity. Yeah.
Stretching Title VII of the 64 Civil Rights Act to sue businesses for practically any hiring practice that adversely affected minorities. 89, the agency sued the Carolina Freight Carrier Corporation of Hollywood, Florida, for refusing to hire a truck driver, a Hispanic man who had multiple arrests and had served 18 months in prison for larceny. Well, the EEOC argued that the only legitimate qualification for the job was the ability to operate a tractor trailer. Tell us the rest of the story here, because the folks out here in the cheap seats, as you well know, have already had their fill of government intrusion. So tell us the level of intrusion that this process has unleashed.
Well, it's gotten a whole lot worse. It was interesting. The EEOC is famous for bringing these court cases and trying to get precedent set, but they had some bad luck in this Florida case because they got a district judge, a federal judge named Jose Gonzalez. And Judge Gonzalez ruled that the EEOC's position that minorities should be held to lower standards is an insult to millions of honest Hispanics. Obviously, a rule refusing honest employment to convict applicants is going to have a disparate impact upon thieves.
Of any color, at any stripe.
Indeed. However, I mean, it was a wonderful decision, which, of course, since the EEOC lost, the EEOC ignored that rule. And this past April, they issued some new guidance, enforcement guidance. It means what they're going to threaten to sue businesses for on the consideration of arrest and conviction records and employment decisions. And what the EEOC has basically said is that since minorities have a higher rate of criminal offenses, that it could be a crime for businesses to consider criminal records in the hiring.
So nobody will believe that. That's a possibility, James. You're just making all this stuff up, and it's not even April.
Well, you know, I was starting to say that's why I had footnotes, but the newspaper article doesn't have footnotes. So
you'll have to wait for your book.
Google it, you know. I mean, this is Google that title, EEOC Enforcement Guidance on Consideration of Arrest and Conviction Records. You know, it's fascinating because it's understandable that folks would want to help folks who have served their time and come back to try to help them get their foot their feet back on the ground.
Yes.
And there are far too many laws. I mean, the thing this country needs is fewer laws, not more prisons.
Right.
But what the EEOC has done is exploit the idiotic criminal code that the federal level and other states, and use that to give itself far more arbitrary power over American businesses. And so it's almost like a mafia enforcer going in there and threatening to break people's legs if they don't hire Joe, who just got, you know, just who knocked at the door.
Well, so here's my alleged insight on this, James Bovard. If the EEOC can ignore a judge in a judicial ruling at the federal level, why shouldn't the rest of us just ignore the EEOC?
Well, you know, they have more lawyers than you or I do. And they also have a very large budget, and they have used that to go after some companies in the most bizarre way. For instance, Wackenhut, one of the largest security companies in the U.S., is now named G4S. This is a company that provides guards for nuclear power plants, chemical plants, government buildings. Well, the EEOC has gone after them because there was a case in which EEOC was not willing to hire a twice-convicted thief to be a security guard.
At a nuclear power facility.
Yes. And what the EEOC said was...
Well, just because the guy had a little bit nimble fingers and lifted a few things that didn't belong to him doesn't mean we can't trust him with the nuclear security of the nuclear power plant, for Pete's sake. I mean, what does one thing have to do with another? It's just like that driving case. Just because that person has had a repeat criminal history, what does that have to do with driving a tractor trailer, for Pete's sake?
Well, I mean, with that tractor trailer case, it was a company that had experienced a large amount of employee theft.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they were kind of sensitive on that issue.
Yeah.
And I guess there have been some troubles at nuclear power plants as well with thieves. So, perhaps more with government inspectors. But the thing that was fun, that was fascinating about that nuclear power plant case was the EEOC came in and said that it didn't matter that state and local laws prohibited companies from hiring security guards with criminal records. The EEOC didn't care because it was still going to treat it as if it was a violation of the civil rights of the ex-cons.
What civil rights do ex-cons have unless they have been restored by some formal statement? For instance, here in the state of Iowa, former felons cannot vote and cannot get access to a firearm. Those are two important civil rights.
Well, yeah.
I shouldn't say the firearm is not a civil right, but it's a right. And the governor has to intervene to give them to you back. What civil rights does a former felon have when it comes to working at a nuclear power facility?
Well, I mean, if you ask 99% of Americans, they'll say, well, none. But if you ask the EEOC, which has the lawyers and is trying to set precedent, I mean, part of what's going on here is you have the EEOC coming in and threatening businesses and trying to get them to sign off on these orders and sign off on these hiring agreements. And it's trying to create to create momentum, which can use to intimidate other businesses. But the bottom line of what the EEOC is trying to do is trying to act as if criminal status is one of the protected categories under U.S. civil rights law.
Well, it's interesting because I would argue that their opinion is racist. I mean, it's just flat out racist because listen to I'm just reading what you wrote in the Wall Street Journal. It said the U.S. Commission on Civil Rights warned that employers could be considered guilty of, quote, racial discrimination if they choose law-abiding applicants over applicants with criminal histories. That's starting with the assumption that the predisposition of people to be criminals and to break the law is a racial component.
Well, the EEOC is very selective in how it uses the race card. And it's been completely inconsistent for at least 35, 40 years.
Well, that's incoherent, in addition to being inconsistent. And,
well,
and it is an overt form of racism if they assume criminal behavior is a racial attribute.
Well, it's not necessarily that they're assuming that the criminal behavior is a racial attribute, but according to their own enforcement guidance, they were saying that the imprisonment rate for black men is nearly seven times higher than white men and almost three times higher than Hispanic men. So what the EEOC is trying to do is forcibly rewrite the corporate hiring handbook to level the playing field between protected groups with a high crime rate and the rest of the workforce.
So they're redistributing the criminal wealth, eh?
Something like that. Something like that. And the thing that surprises me is this is a guidance which was first released last April, and it would have seemed like it would have been a very good issue if someone wanted to point out how the Obama administration has kind of gone way over the line as far as being reasonable, but the GOP did not raise it last year.
Did they know about it, or is this a case of you have to actually pass a policy before you know what's in it?
I think it's a question where you have to read. And reading is something that just isn't done very often by people involved in. And I'm serious.
Yes, I agree.
There was a survey done in the late 70s to see how much time the average congressman spent reading per day. And I'm pretty sure that the answer came back around 12 minutes. And so they never did the survey again.
Yeah, because it came up with an inconvenient conclusion. All right, so what is the status of this, James Bove? I never did actually properly introduce James. He writes for a whole bunch of stuff. He's a number of best-selling books, most of which I have on my shelves. The most recent one, I think, Public Policy Hooligan, Lost Rights, Freedom in Chains, the Bush Betrayal, Terrorism and Tyranny, Attention Deficit Democracy, all are worth a read. I think you'd be in the generic category of criminal libertarian or something like that.
Criminal libertarian. I think that there's some folks that would like to drop that second word.
Right,
however, part of the bright side of this new EEOC policy, since they're cracking down on businesses that use criminal records, is it means that I might finally be able to get a full-time job.
Assuming the person behind the desk takes off his glasses and kind of glosses over your history. Well, you could say if they focused on it, that would be a crime in itself. Is it? So this seems like it would be like a permanent employment program for civil rights attorneys and members of the government class at some point, because this is the internal illogic and contradictions that are in the crossfire between arbitrary power and lack of common sense is just breathtaking here. So what will be the real world practical effect of this nonsense?
Well, the real world effect will probably be two or three congressmen who make brief statements on the floor and say, well, this is a bad idea, and then the policy keeps on going. And year by year, that they're able to browbeat more businesses into signing these orders and putting more ex-cons in the workforce. And part of what's astounding here is that the EEOC will have no liability for any violent rampage that results from this new hiring policy, because it's a federal agency, so it's never liable for anything. And it's just interesting to me to see how far this policy has gotten, because at some point, I would have thought that there would be a nonsense radar or some kind of reflex that folks would say, well, no, this is too bizarre. But it hasn't. And this is not that unusual for federal policies in the last decade or couple decades.
Well, is this the result of an affirmative decision from the executive branch, implemented by executive order, or is this a logical result of the people that this administration is ideologically comfortable with being assigned to the EEOC, or a combination thereof?
It is both, because this is something that the EEOC has been pushing on and trying to get, trying to build precedent and trying to stretch the law. Well, I mean, the thing the EEOC has done for 40 years is basically ignore the federal law and try and write regulations that basically coerce businesses to hire by quota in order to avoid getting sued by the Fed.
Well, so will this be just another quota?
Effectively, yes.
So this could be like a two or three fur. You could have one guy or woman who is a felon, a sexual minority, an ethnic minority, and a criminal. So you would have a three or four for it, which is one person in some cases.
Well, a person like that, it's hard to say no.
Yeah, I mean, that person has a job for life.
Well, and it's another aspect, because if someone like that does get hired and then something comes up, then and you try to fire him, you got a big problem.
Well, they'd have four grounds for a lawsuit. He's a member of four different minorities. She is a different minority groups protected.
And it's interesting. Some folks think that, well, but the government's not going to be that unreasonable. But there's a case here in Maryland now, a federal case before a federal court, in which the EEOC is trying to compel a company to pay settlements to job applicants who lied about their criminal record.
Well, in the case, you probably already know this, we have a former governor here from the state of Iowa, now working for the Department of Ag.
Agriculture?
Yeah, and he was just advertising the other day for people who think they were discriminated against if they were Hispanics, and that they might have thought of becoming a farmer at one time.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, here it is.
Hello, this is Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. If you believe the United States Department of Agriculture improperly denied you farm loan benefits between 1981 and 2000 because you are Hispanic or female, you may be eligible to apply for compensation. For more information, call toll-free 1-888-508-4429 or visit www.farmerclaims.gov. The claims period runs September 24th, 2012 through March 25th, 2013.
A message from the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
Wow, that's amazing.
Well, they worked for the Pigford Farm people, for minority farmers. Now they're expanding it to Hispanics and females. Billions of dollars of walking around money and vote buying.
Yes.
So it's...
That is bizarre. I mean, there was... That's the first time I've heard of that. I mean, and to expand it to females. I mean,
yes.
It's like,
now, my wife could have been a successful farmer had she thought about being one and applying for a credit. I'm going to have her sign up.
Well, and you know, it's interesting the standard of evidence which the feds use in these things. There was an EEOC case which I wrote about in the 1990s when the EEOC was going after Hooters restaurant chain because Hooters would only hire females to be servers.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
I can't imagine.
But something the EEOC was trying to do was to compel Hooters to agree to pay this class action settlement to any man who claimed he had applied for a job at Hooters over the previous 10 years. and there are very few restaurants who have records that back that far. And so basically, it would be the same as telling guys to step in off the street and grab a handful of cash from the cash register.
James Bovard, we're just about out of time. Corey, you have a question for our guest, James Bovard. Good morning, Corey.
Yeah, I was just calling in a little. I was hearing part of what you guys were talking about earlier with the EEOC and what they're fighting for criminal rights and stuff like that. I guess I just don't understand. In this country anymore, is there any real incentive to stay out of trouble? Is there any punishment if you get into trouble? And if you spend your whole life working your butt off and staying out of trouble, then when it comes time to get a job, is there no more benefit to that than just to be any average criminal?
Well, he's asking a lot of great questions, James. Are we reached the point where people will just throw up their hands in frustration? Yeah, and you see all of these organizations lobbying against the interest of domestic tranquility and the taxpayers.
Well, it's just there are so many different ways that federal policies are undermining the American character, and this is just one more way. And it's sad because you have the politicians and the bureaucrats keep coming up with new standards for scoring private conduct, but it's almost always pulling people down, lowering standards.
It would be nice if we had a true equality before the law, and the law was the same for everybody, and everybody had the same standard. You used to call that rule of law. Now it's something else.
Now it's rule of bureaucrats and a bunch of political appointees and, you know, a bunch of rascals.
And thank you for being out there, James Bovard, and letting us know what's going on. Now it's up to us to take the next step. Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Hey, thanks so much for having me on.
You bet. Right after our farm